Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, managing editor with REIT.com. And today's July 1st. We're talking with Creed Murphy, vice president and investment analyst with American Assets Capital Advisors. Want to go ahead and welcome him on. Creed, how are you doing today?
Hey, Alan. Good to talk to you. Excited to talk about REITs today.
Okay, great. Well, hey, I wanted to start off asking you, I read through your white paper that you guys recently released. Can you tell me a little bit, how do REIT returns compare with other asset classes on a long-term basis based on your research?
Sure. So we went back and pulled the data set together for a bunch of different asset classes. And over just about any time period you look at, whether it's, trailing 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, REITs have typically outperformed all the other major asset classes. And that includes, the obvious asset classes like the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, international stocks, emerging markets, and also real assets like gold, oil, and homes. And one point I'd like to bring out about homes, a lot of investors we talk to, they seem to be a little confused about the difference between their single-family home and their allocation to REITs. So over the past 40 years, single-family homes have only returned about a 1 or 2% spread to inflation. And the reason for that is that by living in a property, you forego the rent cash flow. And as a result, we encourage investors to really think about the home they live in primarily as, one, the place they live, and two, an inflation hedge. So that kind of brings up the question of why have REITs outperformed other asset classes? And really, they're built this way by design. So in commercial real estate, you have cap rates of, currently they're, call it 5 to 7%. And then each year you have rent escalations of, 2 to 3%. So that gets you to a 7 to 10% return. You layer on 30 to 40% leverage and you quickly get to the low double digits. So that kind of gives you an overview of how REITs have historically performed and where they're at relative to other asset classes.
So then, Creed, what about when returns are adjusted for risk?
So that's a great question. A lot of people get caught up looking at the absolute return, and it's important to risk adjust those returns. So the Sharpe ratio is a very handy tool to do this. And what the Sharpe ratio does is it looks at the excess return of an asset, which is its return minus the risk-free rate, over the standard deviation or the volatility in returns. And over the past 40 years, looking at, the major three asset classes, the Sharpe ratio for REITs would be about 0.4, okay. And for stocks, it's 0.29. For bonds, it's 0.15. So when you look at this on a risk-adjusted basis, even though REITs have slightly higher volatility than stocks, on a risk-adjusted basis, REITs have historically outperformed the other asset classes.
Again, talking with Creed Murphy of American Assets Capital Advisors. So, Creed, what does this mean for investors and portfolio managers in terms of their allocations?
So this is another great question. We get this a lot as we talk to a lot of investors. We run some separately managed accounts in real estate and also a long-short real estate mutual fund for Altegris. And so we're constantly being asked about exposure to real estate, primarily if someone should allocate, and if they do, how much. We recently just wrote a white paper on this topic, which looks at this question within the rigor of the Markowitz mean variance efficient frontier, which is the basis of modern portfolio management, which Harry Markowitz won the Nobel Prize for in 1990. So we went back and looked at nearly 40 years of historical performance, which is about as far back as the data sets go, back to the 70s when REITs started. And our findings is that by adding REITs to the typical stock bond portfolio, it has historically improved the portfolio's risk return profile versus the typical portfolio. And what we found is that most investors are significantly underweight in REITs.
So then, do you have an idea as to what an optimal portfolio allocations to REITs might be?
Sure. So that depends a lot on what an investor's risk and return requirements are. And modern portfolio theory is actually a very helpful tool to help investors answer that question. So modern portfolio theory, it seeks to optimize the efficiency of a portfolio. And what I mean by that is an investor can select a given level of risk or volatility and returns that they're willing to accept, and then through the optimizer, the modern portfolio theory, figure out the allocation that would yield the maximum return for that given level of risk. Or alternatively, they can say, what is the minimum level of expected return that I can accept? And this is typically employed by pension funds and investors with a longer term horizon. And so once they select a given level of return, they can use modern portfolio theory to calculate out what the minimum standard deviation or volatility in returns would be. So the idea is that you get a portfolio with the maximum return and the minimum amount of risk. So to give you an example of this, the typical portfolio, let's say it's 60% stocks, 40% bonds. That over the past 40 years has had a volatility of about 11%. Now, if you were to blend stocks, bonds, and REITs with a 40% stock, 30% bonds, and 30% REIT allocation, you would get the same volatility, but about 130 basis points more per year.
All right. Well, Creed, thank you so much. Really insightful stuff.
Thank you, Alan. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you all for joining us, too. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenny.